from her perch on the recliner. Yuan, wearing a crisply clean uniform with captain's stripes on its cuffs, was sitting on the edge of Volker's bunk, the only other available seat in the jam-packed compartment. "You're Elverda Apacheta," Volker said, more of a statement than a question.
"Yes, I am the owner of the Hunter."
"You're a very famous woman," Volker said, his smile going even brighter. "I looked you up. I've never met a sculptress before. I'm honored to have you aboard my ship." She smiled back at him.
"You are very gracious."
"No, not at all." Volker's smile turned almost shy. Then he suggested, "Why don't we have some refreshments while we're talking? It's almost dinner time." "I'd like to get this settled as quickly as we can," Yuan said.
"We have an injured man aboard Captain Yuan's ship," Elverda said. "I don't want to leave him for very long."
"I see," said Volker. "Okay, let's talk business. When we found Hunter, she was drifting and abandoned. That makes her a derelict according to IAA regulations. We took claim of her, and we are bringing her back to Ceres."
Elverda objected. "But she's not salvage."
"No, she's not," Volker agreed, stopping her with an upraised hand. "But she was a derelict, and we have a legal right to sell her for the best price we can get."
"I am her owner," Elverda said.
"You were her owner, dear lady. Now she's my property, mine and my crew's." Yuan said, "I'm not sure the courts at Ceres would agree with you." With a laugh, Volker replied, "That's what makes horse races, and why we have lawyers."
"But I don't want to travel all the way back to Ceres," Elverda objected.
Volker said, "Then make me an offer."
"An offer?"
"Right here and now. How much are you willing to pay for the ship?" Elverda glanced at Yuan, then said,
"But I have no money."
"She's worth at least half a bill," said Volker.
"I have no money," Elverda repeated.
Volker sighed. "Then I guess we'll have to go to Ceres." Yuan gripped the edge of the bunk's mattress, thinking hard. I could accept his decision and go back to Viking with Elverda. Or I could return to my ship and then blast this scavenger into a cloud of hot plasma and retake Hunter for her. I could. It would be easy. But what would the consequences be? You already have to deal with Tamara and probably Humphreys. You're already in deep trouble. How can you reach your proper path in life if you continue to live by violence? The artifact had changed Yuan, profoundly altered his outlook on life, by showing him a goal, a path, a Tao that he yearned deeply to achieve. He thought about consequences now. He looked farther ahead in time than he had ever done before, and realized that until he had seen the artifact, he had been merely zigzagging through life, bouncing from one event to the next, jittering like a dust mote being pushed and jostled by the forces around it, with neither control nor care about what happened next. Now he looked ahead, as far into the future as he could. He knew his life would end happily. But how to get to that destiny? That was his problem.
Volker saw the look on Yuan's face. He had seen it before and knew what it meant. Trouble, big time. The man was determined to help this old lady, and he had a fully armed attack ship at his command. "Isn't there some way?" Elverda began, but her plaintive question died in her throat before she could finish it. "What were you using the ship for?" Volker asked. He had seen from the IAA registry that there was no crew listed, only one other person aboard the vessel, somebody named Dorn, a priest, according to the records. But there was no dossier on the man. His history was a complete blank. "It's a personal mission," said Elverda, suddenly looking uncomfortable. "Personal?" Volker's smile turned doubtful. "You mean you don't want to talk about it?" Elverda seemed to struggle within herself for a few heartbeats. Then she said, "I am assisting Dorn."
"The priest?"
"Yes. His objective is to find the bodies of those who were killed in the wars and left to drift through the belt." Alker blinked at her.
Salvage dead bodies?
To give them proper funeral rites, said Alverda.
I know it seems outlandish, but...
Leaning back in his big desk chair, Valker said,
Not at all outlandish. I understand salvage. Families must be willing to pay handsomely to have the bodies of their dead returned to them.
It's not for money, Alverda said. We never even thought of that. We simply give them final rites, as they deserve. With a low whistle, Valker steepled his fingers in front of his face, thinking hard. They're two nutcases, this old woman and her priest, wandering around the belt, picking up bodies to give them funeral rites? That's weird. She could be lying, of course. There could be something else in this.
I see, he said at last.
Leaning forward, he placed both his big hands on the desktop. Okay, you're involved in something it's religious, isn't it? Alverda nodded slowly. Okay, I won't stand in your way. You can have your ship. Alverda gasped.
I can?
Yuan asked. For how much?
Nothing. For free.
A gift from Captain Valker and his crew.
Do you mean it?
Alverda seemed on the verge of tears.
Of course I mean it,
Valker said, getting to his feet and coming around the massive desk. Hunter is all yours. And maybe you can get your priest to say a prayer for me and my crew. Might do us some good.
Certainly. Of course,
Alverda rose, clasping her hands together in gratitude.
Bless you, Captain Valker.
Yuan stood up, too, his face showing more suspicion than appreciation. Valker walked them from his compartment to the airlock, where Viking and Vogeltot were mated together. Alverda kept thanking him, and he acted as if almost embarrassed by her gratitude. As he saw them through the airlock, Valker thought that it would be simple to hand over Hunter to them, and then have all three ships go their separate ways. Once he was sure that Yuan's Viking was safely out of the picture, he could always track down Hunter and retake it. Without falling under the guns of Viking, the old woman and the priest were the only crew aboard Hunter. Kill them, Valker said to himself, and then their ship is yours again, free and clear. He laughed as Alverda kissed him on both cheeks before leaving Vogeltot.
Tamara was lying on the bunk in her compartment, watching the wall screen. It showed Hunter disengaging from the little salvage vessel. Small puffs of cold gas jets pushed Hunter away from the smaller ship for a quarter of an hour. She listened to the radio chatter between the cyborg, who was apparently piloting Hunter, and Yuan on Viking's bridge. "We're ready to light the main engine," came Dorne's deep, methodical voice. A moment's pause. Then Yuan said, "You're clear for ignition." Tamara saw a flash of blue-hot ionized gas, and Hunter seemed to leap out of her vision, hurtling deeper into the belt. She counted the seconds. It took Yuan only 34 of them to get to her compartment's accordion door and rap on its frame. "Come in," she called. He slid the door open and ducked one single step into her quarters. "I thought you'd want to know that we're heading in now." "To Ceres," she replied. He grinned at her. "No, to Selene. Headquarters. Humphreys wants to see us. Both of us."
Book 3. 6 months later. Nor blame I death, because he bare the use of virtue out of earth. I know transplanted human worth will bloom to profit otherwhere.
Or ship Syracuse, backup command pod. The pod was more of a home to Theo than his own quarters. He spent most of his free time in it, watching over Syracuse's slowly failing systems, nursing the old bucket along day by excruciating day. He was well past 18 now. Taller than his mother. His body had filled out some.